The radio show was started because at that time, 94, 95, it was, not everybody was on the internet. And so Studio XX was born with this idea of different access points for women to technology.
I was friends with Kathy Kennedy, Trish Kearns, Kim Sawchuk, and Cheryl Hamilton. They're the founders. And, you know, I can't exactly remember the detail, but I just hung around them. So I wasn't one of the founders, but I was just around, and I loved their idea of starting Studio XX. And, I mean, Kathy started it more as sort of sound art, which I wasn't. Still, though, I was kind of interested in the project. And when Kathy... Well, you know, she was definitely like a mover and a shaker and ambitious in terms of what she wanted to get done.
Because they will try to convince us that we have arrived, that we are already there, that it has happened, because we need to live in the place where we are truly alive, present, safe, and accounted for, because we refuse to allow our writing, songs, art, activism, and political histories to be suppressed or stolen, because we refuse to be embarrassed about the mistakes and faults and choose to move forward with a political agenda bent on the freedom of all.
Founding the studio was one thing, and then she was like, radio show at CKUT as well. And I'd been doing Dykes on Mics for a few years at that point. And she said, well, why don't you do XX Files as well? You know, and I thought, fun idea, but I didn't feel really comfortable about doing a long-term show at the station because I already did one, so that felt a little greedy, I guess. Nonetheless, we had to get it started, and because I already had an in and Kathy was so determined, we wrote up a proposal. And so for, I guess, the first year and a half, maybe two, I hosted it. I remember quite clearly the moment when Val arrived, and then I did it with her for a while.
I was probably the first, second host. It was pretty hysterical. I knew Kathy Kennedy, and then I met Deb through Studio XX when it was in the basement of 4001 Barry. Deb just started sending me a bunch of emails, and there was this woman, Mary, who was also interested, And she and I came to this meeting with Deb in this cafe on the corner of Saint Laurent and Mount Royal. And I had already done radio before, so I knew I wanted to do it again. And this seemed like a really good opportunity to not deal with male voices or male perspective or male point of view or control, which I'd had before. When I'd done radio at Columbia University in New York City, this one guy said to me, "I really like your voice that you had last week. Why don't you talk like that again?" And I was like, "Because I had laryngitis. I was sick. A sexy voice is pain, and pain is sexy." I was like, "Get over that." You know?
Wow, actually, I ran into Val Tekigao in at an event, and then we just had a lot of fun laughing, and then I told her about my film Green Dream, and she invited me to be on the show. Well, the part where I was quite involved, I think it was, I would say, 3 years, maybe a bit longer. And then slowly I was getting busier with my project. So I was like, so I would come in, but not every time. And it was between, I brought in another Maya, actually, Maya Richman. So it was Maya and Val for a bit. And then I kind of, you know, I would go away and come back. And then I think Maya and Val were more involved, and then I think after that new people started coming, like Nedi, and yeah, so altogether I would say maybe 5 years.
I met Val at the Future HTML event in 2014, I think. And we had a quick conversation. I was impressed by her energy and her craziness. And I was like, I have to learn more about this person. And then so we exchanged info. I told her about what I was doing at school. And she's like, "Yeah, totes, rad girls." And I was like, "Okay." And then it went, I think the next thing I knew, it like 2 weeks after that, we met and talked about how I could be involved, and I was like writing my first script for my B-boy story. So that was, yeah, that was how I got involved with the XX Files.
Good morning, and welcome to the XX Files on CKUT 90.3 FM and live in real audio on the internet at www.ckut.ca. If you're online listening to us, you probably know where you are, don't you? You're listening to the XX Files. The truth about women and technology is right here. And for the next couple of shows, I, Val Tekigao, will be bringing you the lowdown on the downloads.
I mean, I love community radio, and I'm thrilled that they're still there and going strong. Radio's having some kind of comeback, really. Maybe it never went away, you know, in the form of podcasts. It's so present in young people's lives, especially. And I think the goals of the XX Files aligned really with the goals of the X of Studio XX, because really the idea at that moment that technology was burgeoning, it was growing, and how could women have not just a voice in it, but a way to help shape it even? Because I think unless we're sort of creating our own present and writing our own history, nobody's really doing it for us. So there was definitely that sense of the studio can exist in this physical form, but then to have the XX Files on a radio station so that every artist who came through the studio would also have a place to talk about her art, her motivation, her research, whatever, really, you know. So it seemed equally as important to have a radio show to kind of be the voice of Studio XX.
embodied way of being together. And the radio was intended, as radio has always been, intended to get people with lower levels of access to technology. So that was, for me, why we even started to have a radio show at all. And the mandate at the beginning of Studio XX was not only to give people access to technology, although to give women access to technology, although that was the number one mandate, but we never saw it as that alone. It was more about creating discourse around technology that would be feminist.
It was more exploratory, and I liked that because it was on one hand you had to, you know, take it seriously, on another hand you're able to make mistakes. You know, it wasn't like in a normal kind of maybe CBC journalism where you had to be like have a certain, like, you could screw up or you can explore things, and even if it didn't work, it was okay. So we had that liberty, and yeah, so it was about learning. It was like, you know, I was learning to tech and host at the same time, and learning what it is to be a host. And like Va was the mentor, so she was the one that was like, you know, overseeing everything and telling us, you know, that was good, or like giving us some hints. And yeah, and she's not a conventional kind of person, so you don't learn, and it's like she shows you things, but then also like we do a lot of things on the fly, and there was just a lot of spontaneity and experimentation.
Interview men, and that was really useful for a while. And so then when we broke it with William Pope L, who's one of the most amazing African-American artists in the world. He has work in the Venice Biennale this year. And the way we did it was he wanted to do a crawl and just crawl up Mount Royal from the bottom with a whole bunch of people. And it turned into a huge scenario. He ended up getting banned and had to leave the city, but we had him on the show as the first person, the first male person to be on the show. After about 4 years, I knew that this was gonna be something I did for a long time. I was always the host that was in continuity. I trained other people. When I went away to grad school, I made sure there were three people that were gonna take care of the show until I came back. And by the 12th year, by the 10th year, 11th year, when we were doing the matricules insertion, and this became the largest audio component of Canada's digital archive, I knew, yeah, this is going to be something really long-term. And was one of the very first, you know, 50 members, 25 members of Studio XX. And to see where it is now and know that it's going to keep going on for a really long time, and see the role that it's had in different people's lives as they discover things that we've kind of left in the archives, little time bombs of liberation, maybe.
This is Val Gal here with Anita Juanita.
Hello.
We are sharing more Y2K fear and paranoia with you today.
Yeah, we've been talking about the millennium bug and the whole hype around it. And we mentioned that the bug concerns a date problem. Many systems, from mainframes to PCs, will not recognize the century rollover. That's Prince's 1999 to the year 2000. And they will read the date as the year 1900. So many problems will ensue, some believe, and some don't. And some think it's the end of the world then, so we'll see.
The role women play in this, it's really important to put a spotlight on it, because very often it's dismissed and our contributions are not like as visible as they should be. So I think like it's all about representation and having a voice, right? And I think the XX Files, over the 21 years it's been on, has kind of been that voice for that femme approach to technology and like science.
There is an inherent misogyny involved in the perception of the female voice. But with that, there is also the implication that there is an uncontrollable power in what is the female voice. And how is sound gendered is, I think, a really huge question in the 21st century.
Yeah, we used to be much more serious about technological education, and we would do different, you know, we'd do topics. We would also ask the members of Studio XX at meetings what they wanted to know, and we would get really serious into like, you know, 10-15 minute info bites. We would do step by step how you do something, often with another host or a guest. We would go through like how to access a bulletin board, how to set up an email account. I mean, we were doing really basic things back in the day. We had Alicia Sherman, who started Cyber Girls, on the show. We brought her to Montreal, basically, and she came to Studio XX. She launched her book, and she was talking about using bulletin boards as a way to engage with the internet for women. How do you protect your identity? Have a secret name so nobody knows you're a woman. Cyber stalking. We talked about all that kind of stuff. And then when people would come with different interests, like we had the Digital Delirium gals who were in chemistry and biology who did every other week. Sometimes they would throw us shows. For example, they'd have women come to the McGill Med School and talk about toxics in makeup. We talked about in vitro fertilization before anybody talked about that. We talked about fertility, stuff like that. So we started out more as like a manual, an audio manual for survival in the world. And then as that kind of leveled out and we became more secure, and maybe our audience became more secure, we started reaching out more and more. And also my interest, I was running the show more. I'm more interested in digital art, installations. I wanted tickets to things like Electra and Mutech. So I was looking at how come, you know, we had the very first woman that was ever in Mutech. But for years, I would go to the whole festival and talk about how there were no women performing. We became more arts oriented. And as we grew, the community grew. So there were more women making art, doing art. I mean, Alexis O'Hara came on the show when she got the very first grant for a female sound artist, self-produced audio release from Canada Council. And nobody could even believe that a woman or anybody got that, but a woman got that. And she came on the show and talked about how she mixed the audio, how she recorded it. It was a multiple visit thing. And so we started getting into a lot of the background of how do women break through and how do they get into these things.
Thank you. allowed me to explore Afrofuturism, right? And the whole power of the imagination. And so, like, right now, like, you were talking about personas. There's this one incident at, like a gathering that I went to over the weekend, and, like, a friend asked me to, like, come up with a persona on the spot. And it was so, that exercise was so fun, you know, just creating a new self for myself. And I think that's what the radio, because while I was doing it, like the last summer I was on the XX Files, I was going through a very, very difficult time with my supervisor during my master's. But for those, like, that half an hour or just like the hours I spent editing or whatever, I could create another, like, self and, like, experience and, like,
identities for themselves in computer networks. They can take on opposite genders, because at the moment people only think in terms of two genders, but people do take on different personalities, and they occupy those personalities, those puppets, in the network as it pleases them.
We're online surfing in our virtual space, and you know, you kind of wonder what's going on, and so you go to salon.com to find out. And Salon has a big section on technology, which of course I like to go to first. And with Shift gone now, there's not many fun places to read about the net and chat about it at the same time. Salon has got some interesting stuff about Napster and the whole MP3 music giveaway that's been going on. We talked about that on the XX Files, the day of the Napster case. That day, Napster lost. They were deemed to be in violation of copyrights because you don't have to pay for the music that they help you download from all over the universe.
Yeah, and they find interesting topics of conversation, because that does happen in less than professional radio, let's say, but in community radio, your guest doesn't show up.
That happens.
Right? For some reason. And you've got to have a plan B. What is that plan B? So Val was very good at the plan B, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. There were a lot of technical issues, but you kind of learn to go with the flow, you know, and just like stay calm and try not to like, no blank. Yeah, anyway, yeah.
Wear your headphones all the time when you're in the station. I would give a good suggestion to that, because you don't know your sound mixing levels unless you're listening through your headphones. And this is a constant thing I've said over the years, I will say it forever, but it really makes a difference wearing your headphones. I think that radio is going to get more and more digital, more podcasty. I mean, we've already spawned at least two or three podcasts. I don't know how many are still around as long as we are. There's been different people from Europe who've tried to copy and extend the show's idea. And I do think it needs to be around. I think there needs to be more radio that's just blatantly run by women, that doesn't need to mention men for a certain period of time in the day.
It's so intimate. You're listening to it on headphones or while you're driving or cooking or something. But it's so intimate. Somebody's voice is in your ears, you know? And I know from having done it that it's also an intimate experience, and you don't even know who's listening to you. But there you are in your booth, and you've got your microphone, and your voice is just a little lower. So it's all very warm and intimate. And I think in a highly technology kind of world, I think we look for warmth and intimacy, actually. So I think that's maybe always going to be the appeal.
Thing about feminist and the female perspective is that it really is devalued. So creating an archive, and we're the ones that have to value it, basically, first. So which means we create our own reality with it. So meaning creating archives, I mean, that's why I make films too. It's like Ava DuVernay said, a woman making a film is a radical act in itself. So, and sometimes it doesn't even matter what film you make. You just make a film and then you're like, you release it and it's your point of view. And the more and more that's out in the world, the more and more this point of view becomes validated. So I think having an archive is incredibly important. I mean, I know with Wikipedia there was also the problem that not as many women artists were covered. Like, so this archive basically is like, you can really go and say 25 years, here's like all the amazing things that women have been doing in the also in the tech kind of world, which often we forget that women are doing things there, but how we are using technology. And we always use technology in a broad sense in the radio show. Like, it was never we're interested in high tech, but also in like old technology, because also in terms of feminism, for me, it's really important not to devalue the past. So if women were using sewing machines for many years, listen, maybe I don't want to use a sewing machine right now, but it's important also to value that technology that's been in our lineage, and we've mastered it. So to continue, to build on the past and to value the women that came before us. So I think also the archive does that. It values this, like, this heritage.
Yes, a bit of a spectrum. We've had a number of women, of course, hosting the show. Our aim is to explore all aspects of the digital revolution from the perspective of women living it. And the various women who have taken part in the show, we've all worked with technology from some sort of angle, either as artists, either as working within our career with technology, as computer engineers, technical assistants, technical directors, etc. And it's really such a joy to do this show. When I first came on board, 97 was a bit of a tough year. It's one of those years that I'd love to erase from my memory.
Jenny Cam. Remember Jenny? We talked about her a long time ago. She was so interesting, the first girl in the world to be online all the time.
UDCKUD 90.3 FM.
This is the Amanda Galas. You are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
I'm going to avoid spreading COVID-19. It's easy. I'll wear a mask in crowded places. If I have symptoms, I'll self-isolate and do a rapid test. If I test positive, I'll stay home for at least 5 days. And for the next 5 days, I won't visit anyone who's at risk. I'll avoid social events like festivals and gatherings, and I'll limit my activities to only the most essential, all while wearing a mask and staying 2 meters away from others. The virus is still out there, so we have to be careful. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
National Nuit d'Afrique, le rendez-vous des musiques du monde vous invite à sa 36e édition du 12 au 24 juillet à Montréal. ne manquez pas l'une des voix les plus étonnantes du Brésil, Fabiana Cosa, les piliers de la tradition Jinawi, Mokhtar Gania et Jinawa Soul. Le blues éclectique de la fabuleuse Dawn Tyler Watson. Vivez des moments de pure beauté avec la rencontre